Today's episode is brought to you by shop.mrcoleonnoir.com. Shop.mrcoleonnoir.com is the place for all of your 2A apparel needs. With designs like I Am the Militia, Keep Texas Tactical, and I Lost All My Guns in a Boating Accident, you can show your 2A pride while looking good doing it, and even converting some folks along the way. So head over to shop.mrcoleonnoir.com and grab your 2A merch today. For the people who don't know who you guys are, just kind of give us a little bit of a background.
Okay, we are Henry and Lakeisha Outdoor. We go by Halo Hunting, and it's basically where we chronicle our outdoor adventures, whether it's hunting, fishing, with our kids, whether we're target practicing, with our bows, with our rifles, you know, just being in the outdoors with our family. Mm-hmm. And we've been hunting together for quite some time now.
So how did did y'all meet hunting, or were y'all both in hunting? Into hunting when y'all first met, or was it something that y'all kind of grew to liking together? I mean, kind of give me a little breakdown about that.
Well, actually, Lakeisha, when we met, she didn't know I was a hunter or anything like that. She was totally a city girl, and I just had some roots that actually started when my father bought me my first BB gun at the age of 12. Mm-hmm. And from having the BB gun, practicing, and doing what I so-called hunting birds and different things, we also have had, I'm actually a fourth generation farmer, even though I'm not farming right now, but, our family has been into the agriculture, industry for a long time. And so, having the land, you know, to hunt on and different things, it kind of came together. Now, when I met Lakeisha, I had a couple of secrets that I didn't tell her, you know, because I didn't want her to think that I was, you know, I wanted her to think that I was fun and interesting. And so I didn't tell her anything
repeat that again. Repeat that one more time, because I kind of lost you for a second. I heard like you kind of mangled up a little bit. So you said when you first met her, you kind of had some secrets.
When I first met Lakeisha, I had two secrets. Well, the first one was I was a young minister, so I was hoping that she didn't think I was going to be lame or something like that. You know, and boring. So she didn't know anything about that. Then she didn't know that I had a great passion for the outdoors and hunting. So it was totally new when she was getting kind of sick. That's when I started telling her, hey, by the way, I'm a preacher, you know. And I mean, because, you know, it's a time where a lot of men, I thought that was the coolest, you know. And I just didn't think I was going to be a square or anything like that. But from there, and then she found out that I love to hunt. And she actually didn't find out about my hunting addiction until we were married. And,
right.
You held a secret.
You know, believe it or not, like I tell the story a lot, he used to go out on the weekends, you know, going out there in the woods. And I'm like, man, that's all you do is go to the woods. What are you doing in the woods? So, you know, eventually he was like, he invited me to come along with him and film his hunts for him. And then after that, we were turkey hunting. He was like, okay, just come film me. We were turkey hunting, and he was doing his mouth call. A turkey was gobbling back. You know, that was my first time out there in the woods, you know, while he's out there turkey hunting and watching a turkey call back, and they're going back and forth. And he took his shot, and it was so amazing. I've really been, you know, really into wanting to be in the outdoors ever since that moment. So now, like I say all the time, he doesn't want to be without me in the woods. It's like he's my BFF in the woods now.
So for you, it was literally like hunting at first hunt. Like the first time you went hunting, you fell in love. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing happened with me when I first shot for the first time, is I instantly fell in love. Now, the first time I hunted, I thought it was cool. I think I was hunting. First thing I ever hunted was hogs. Honestly,
fun, exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a little lackluster. I mean, I had a 30-06 bolt action rifle, and I had one of my legal mentors. We were out on his property, and so we were just kind of stalking a little bit. Nothing too serious. And the funny thing is, I didn't actually even see any hogs. I saw like a raccoon or something. And I took a pop shot at that, and that was about it. So my first hunting experience was a little lackluster. But for people who don't really get it, so I'm a city boy too, I developed my love affair with the outdoors because of shooting. But for, and so I have a lot of people, a lot of friends who are city people, but, and they don't really hunt and they don't really understand it. Like, how can someone fall in love with hunting? Like, what is it about hunting that, that you all love so much?
You know, now keep in mind, I'm actually from the city as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually was going back to my country roots. So it was the love of a BB gun. Like, it was shooting initially that, man, I became with a Daisy BB gun. I'm not lying, man.
Hold on. I lost you for a second again. Go back. You said something about the BB gun.
Okay. Man, I became an expert with the Daisy BB gun.
Okay.
And that's really what started it. You know, I was just fascinated with, at that time, being a 12-year-old in the city with a Daisy BB gun, it was like I had a rifle.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got so accurate. I got familiar with trajectory and things like that. I mean, I could shoot a bird far because I started understanding the trajectory and things like that. And I mean, as far as targets, I would shoot at other BBs in the fence. I mean, I was that pinpoint accurate.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, from there, just going into the woods and just wanting to know, you know, what can the BB gun actually do?
Yeah.
You know, I shot paper, but, you know, I was just kind of fascinated with the mechanics of it. And I remember just going out. Rabbits were the first thing that I hunted, and I was so fascinated with rabbit hunting. But I'm gonna tell you what it was that hooked me with rabbit hunting.
Uh-huh.
It actually wasn't the rabbit that I shot that hooked me. It was the rabbit that I missed. And what I witnessed was, I thought rabbits were fast at first. I missed the rabbit, and I may have peppered his back end a little bit.
Yeah.
That rabbit went into fast forward before my eyes. I never saw anything moving. So it was funny and fascinating. I was like, man, I thought they could run, but man, that rabbit, it literally looked like fast forward when I kind of hit him with one of them pellets. I mean, he was gone. And that's really, I think, what hooked me.
Okay. Yeah, no, I it's, you know, I so when, at what point did you make, so that was with the BB gun though, right? Okay, so
rabbit hunting, that was the 12 gauge when I finally did rabbit
hunting. Okay, gotcha.
But I would say this. I'm gonna say what I think. Really, that was the start of it. But okay. I'm gonna tell you what I believe really hooked me, and I guess I'll allow Keisha to tell what really hooked her. It was the first time that I actually shot, and I was actually close to a buck. You know, a lot of times with whitetails, you see the does all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I never saw an antlered buck. And I have this vivid imagination of how majestic it was. It was foggy. It was a foggy winter, and I just was expecting to shoot a deer. I had no idea it was going to be a buck. And I was, you know, studying and looking at videos, and someone told me, hey, to try these deer scent. So I hung up the deer scent. It was 669 was the name of it, and I hung up those scent bombs. And I was sitting there, didn't see anything, and majestically, a buck appeared out of, I can't tell you where he appeared from.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him start to sniff every one of those scent bombs that I hung up, and he actually walked towards me. So I felt like the work that I did,
uh-huh.
and the sequence of how I laid it out, that was why I was successful. And I saw my hand involved in that whole process, and I mean, to be honest with you, I was so shook up when I saw that buck walking in that I had a 30-06 semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I shot, and I guess I wouldn't hold it good. I mean, it recoiled and hit me in the nose, but the deer fell. And I mean, I remember rubbing my face, but trying to see without bleeding. And I mean, but man, that was like the happiest day of my life, you know.
And how old were you?
I bet I was. I can't tell you how old I was. I bet I was around 20.
Okay.
When I shot my first buck, I believe I was 20 years old.
Okay. And you were hunting, and you were by yourself?
No, I was actually with my brother. My brother, okay. he was with me too. My brother, he was around, I believe, 12 or so.
Mm-hmm.
He was somewhere around that age, 12 or 13. And shortly after, we had these radios, these handheld radios. So I'm calling my brother, telling my brother, hey, Kadera, I just shot a buck. Well, he's not responding. So I'm wondering what's going on. I'm like, I shot a buck. He's not responding. All of a sudden, boom, I hear a shot. So I'm like, oh, man, he shot a deer too, you know?
Yeah.
And so me and my brother, he shot a doe and I shot a, it was a 4-point buck at that time. And I remember my dad, he looked at us and said, he said something. He said, son, he said, y'all just done something your dad ain't never done. He said, I've never killed a deer before. And man, I just felt so good, man, just knowing that, you know, we went out there, we held our business, yeah. And we had meat on the table. So it was real rewarding.
And you know what? I'm going to add on to that. You know, yeah. When Henry and I first got married, you know, I didn't eat wild game or things like that. And it's a funny story that his mom actually invited us over for dinner that day. Uh-huh. And she was like, come on, baby. You know, I'm going to fix some good food for you. I got some roast, pot roast I'm going to cook and everything. And so I was like, okay, we're going to have a nice dinner, you know, enjoy. And so I get over there. She's like, how does everything taste? I'm like, oh, it tastes delicious. You know, his mom can cook. She's like a good yeah. cook. And she was like, after I got done eating everything, I was like, oh, mother, you know, you cooked good. That was so delicious. She said, you know, that was deer meat, right? I was like, what? And I never would have imagined if she offered it to me as deer meat, I would have said no off jump. I'm like, no, I'm not eating that. Yeah. But, you know, it was delicious and knowing that we can actually go out there and hunt our own food and bring it back. No, I love deer steak, venison steak. I mean, it's delicious. I don't know if you've ever tried it before. But
I've done elk.
Elk is good too.
Elk, yeah. I kind of get a little weird about gamey, anything mm-hmm. that tastes gamey. So,
right.
Yeah. So, and what happened? What was it? You know, like to me, duck is a little gamey.
Duck is a different taste yeah. altogether to me. It's not a very desirable taste.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
You know, it's to me, it's not just a very desirable taste, but. Man, if you have a deer steak or an elk steak,
Henry can make some fire.
A lot of people steaks. Don't understand about you have to shave that silver skin off the outside of it, and that holds a lot of the game flavor in it. But wild game shouldn't have a gamey taste at all. If it's done right, mm-hmm. you wouldn't even know that it's wild game. You would just think it's just some delicious tasting meat. So,
and because I actually have my sister now, she's calling me. Y'all got any more deer meat left? Ground deer burger meat, so.
Right. So yeah. if it's done right, man,
yeah.
it's excellent. I wouldn't have to buy another steak. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to buy a steak out of the restaurant. I'd mm-hmm. be satisfied with just filling my freezer up with deer. Mm-hmm. Now tell them about your first shot that hooked you with the turkey.
When we put our double.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I went out there with Henry, you know, like I said, I never was just an outdoors girl. I don't like bugs, didn't like bugs, still don't like bugs to this day. So that's one thing. And we were out there turkey hunting in the ground blind. I believe I was pregnant at the time. And mm-hmm. then we had our baby girl with us. She was 4 at the time as well. So I had a 4-year-old with me. Then I was pregnant at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just sitting there. Henry's sitting there. We're just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise. It sounded like kids were running in a playground. I'm like, I tap Henry on his shoulder. I'm like, do you hear that? I said, here comes some turkeys. And they were just running in. You know, we were sitting in the ground, but they just came running. I mean, if you could really just hear it, yeah. you could just hear them boom, 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 boom. Like, it was like so unbelievable. And we were like, okay, well, we're going to shoot on 3. 1, 2, 3, boom. That was the plan. Uh-huh. However, Henry shot a little bit ahead of me. So when he shot, yeah, he did. So when he shot, I didn't shoot. We didn't shoot on 3.
Uh-huh.
And so he was like, Keisha, shoot. And I'm like, go ahead.
Now, let me remind you, I was shooting a 12 gauge. Uh-huh. And she had 20.
Okay.
So my range is a lot further with hers.
Oh.
Now, what was crazy was I was telling her, shoot, LaKeisha, shoot. And I mean, that turkey was running. I know that turkey was probably around 50 yards. And I mean, that's kind of stretching it
with
that
shot. Yeah.
And I mean, she had one shot. It's like, either she was going to shoot it or it was going to be over.
Yeah.
And LaKeisha popped it, rolled that turkey at 50 yards. It was like, it was unbelievable, man. I mean, it was like the highlight. I mean, it was like the first time we had scored together. And I mean, our daughter, she was there to see it. And man, it was awesome because, you know, and I think what it is that really that makes your hunting experience worth it is the work that you put in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an example. I don't think you truly can appreciate a bullet, a projectile, unless you have hand loaded it. You know, okay. Reloading and different things give you a greater appreciation for that projectile. And it's like, I never would have thought of it until I started, you know, reloading and just having accurate loads. And man, it's like you really appreciate it because of the work that you put in, and you feel like, hey, I created this load specially, you know, it's a special load just for, you know, its design purpose. And I think once you put in that work with hunting and it just don't come easy and you work for it, man, I think that's the greatest sense of appreciation.
You know, I never thought about it like that. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense now. I can see it because mm-hmm. I never, you know, if you're making your own, basically loading your own round, mm-hmm. you know, you're getting your gun set up, then you're going out there, you're stalking, putting in the work to either draw them in or go find them and then taking the shot, killing them and then dressing them and then eating them. Yeah, I never really thought about that. Now that you say it, it's like, okay, all right. So now I have more desire to do that because I've never actually reloaded before.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. The AR-15s mm-hmm. that I own, I bought them straight from the store. I have never did a custom build on my own. So
gotcha.
I hear so many people being excited about, you know, building their own and mm-hmm. different things. So I'm pretty sure you've built, you know, you made some custom builds. So I guess it's kind of like a great appreciation. I, at least I'm assuming.
Yeah. You'll be wrong. Well, okay. So for me, I've always been kind of I like to curate, if that makes any sense. So okay. The idea of saying, okay, I want this, I want that put on it. And then kind of, I want an actual base that's already kind of put together and then kind of curate separate pieces that are very important to the actual gun and then doing it that way. Okay. I've maybe done one or two like my own builds. The only reason why I like a really nice tight fit. And so sometimes, and I'm talking about me, I know there'll be a lot of people out there who've done their own builds and then their uppers and their lowers, they're on point. Me on the other hand, I haven't been so lucky. So for me, I tend to like off the shelf with some customization, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
That's kind of where I lie. But I do have a lot of friends that are really into the building aspect of it. And right. Listening to the way that they talk about it is really synonymous to the way that you talked about getting ready and prepping for hunting and then loading as well. That being said, with what guns are you using? So with turkeys, you're hunting with 12 gauge, 20 gauge. Are there any particular style of shotguns that you typically lean towards? And what type of loads are you using for something like that?
Okay, well, I actually prefer a pump. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, newer hunters I'm just not saying newer, but, you know, they love the semi-automatic platform, yeah. Which is nice, but, man, I get a sense of satisfaction out of hearing pumping the shotgun, man. I mean, because, you know, you got to make that shot count.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to get off your target. You know, versus a semi-automatic, and I think semi-automatic sometimes, you know, you may not, I guess, give the best follow-up shot with a semi-automatic.
Really?
Because to me, it's like you're just throwing lead. Hopefully, you know, but if you have to stop and pump that gun,
you're gonna make that next shot count.
You gotta make it count, man. Yeah.
So, I didn't ever thought about it because I definitely would be the guy like when I actually come out there and hunt, because for those watching, they've been trying to get me to come out and hunt with them for the longest time. And I've been I've been the flakest of flakers on the flaking planet. But
I'm not going to say nothing about that. But
when I do come out there, I know me, I'm going to be like, give me the semi-auto. But I might take you up on that and go with a pump instead. Because you're right. I am the type. I'm like, I'll take that first shot. If I miss it, I think I might bring too much of the tactical style of shooting out to the hunting. And that's one of the things that I kind of want to experience, is that style of shooting contrasting towards the like more tactical side of things. Because as a hunter, would you say that you look at guns, I don't want to say look at guns differently, but what you hold, what you value in a particular platform is going to be a little bit different than someone like me, who's used to more or less just shooting tactically on a range and so forth and so on, and shooting from like a self-defense standpoint.
Well, I think in deer hunting, you know, because they make 308, AR-10s to deal with, but I think probably, you know, we may.
Hold on, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, I think that when it comes to like an AR-10 platform for deer hunting, I would prefer a bolt action all day. Now, if we're talking about predator hunting, I mean, most definitely a AR platform. You know, I would prefer magazines with the capacity to hold, you know, more rounds, and I would prefer that, you know, those quick follow up shots, because it's almost tactical. It's really tactical.
Okay.
That style of hunting, and actually hunting, it actually is tactical, because it teaches you how to be, you know, tactical is about stealth as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that hunting actually, they're so closely related. I really believe it.
Yeah, because when that moment of truth comes, your heart starts pounding, even though you're sitting there probably waiting on that deer to come, your heart's beating fast, you know, everything just moving fast, and you really have to be steady and be to actually take that shot. So your heart gets up, you know.
Yeah.
Fight it all at the same time. So you kind of have that little thing that you may not be running or moving so fast. You know?
Right. And friend, Mark Geist, who everyone's familiar with, the war hero over there in Benghazi, he talks about his upbringing as a hunter, and he attributes a lot of his skill set and those things to growing up, being familiar with guns and being a hunter. So I think they the line is so close. I think we have some of the same interests, and I think we're kind of we're like the same in a sense.
Yeah. So do you do, so outside of hunting, do you just do any generalized shooting, or is it just specifically hunting?
Yes, we do. We like to shoot pistols. Mm-hmm. What else? We of course we own, you know,
Oh, say it again. You broke up.
AR-15s, AK-47s. Uh-huh. I think that my style, I guess, has changed a lot as far as, like, I used to love to just shoot up appliances. You know, we just form a line and just go out there and just blast away. But I think I just got more interested in accurate, accurate firearms. So,
gotcha.
Right. But I mean, it's something that we have to keep fresh, keep that muscle memory up when it comes to using your pistol. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an essential skill.
Have you ever hunted with a pistol? Have you ever hunted with a pistol?
No. Well, I've had one on me, and I thought about shooting a 8-point buck one time. Mm-hmm. I have a Taurus Raging Bull with an 8 3/8 barrel and 44 Magnum.
Oh wow!
And I almost. I thought about it, man. I was looking, I wanted to, you know, I was ready, but I said, no, I'm going to wait. I was hoping for a different, maybe a larger buck would come in, but no, not yet. Okay. Not yet.
Now, y'all mentioned something about predator hunting. What predators have you hunted, and what was that like?
Coyotes and bobcats. Well, really, it's kind of like it really depends on what time of year it is. But a lot of times, there's a lot of it that goes on at night.
Okay.
And where we are located on our farm, you're talking about, you have a cut flat land. And, you know, you set up these calls. And you use electronic calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you mimic a predator. And sometimes we use these little decoy type things. It could be like a tail of a critter, and it's moving, and it sounded like something's getting attacked by another predator.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times predators will try to come in and take advantage of that kill. And so you're waiting on it to come in, you know. And so it can get very serious and very tactical. I mean, I've seen guys, I'll spend tons of money on night vision capabilities, and it's a pretty cool type of hunt.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be at night. Sometimes in the evening.
You have long shots.
Yeah, you might, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you may have, it can be the evening time, you know, when the predators begin to move.
Yeah.
And but it's a quick hunt. It's not an all day hunt.
Okay.
If one haven't came in 30 minutes, you should move somewhere else. So it's not a long hunt at all.
Okay. So I didn't know that. So when you're hunting predator, it's going to be a lot shorter hunt. But when you're hunting non-predators, it's more kind of it's still a waiting game, but it's just a longer wait.
Right. Okay. It's not as long.
Why is that?
Man, I think the predators are on the prowl and trying to just take advantage of the weak, you know, and more so the prey, they're just living life and they got to live life and try to survive and try to eat. So they won't do anything to risk being attacked by other predators.
Gotcha.
You know, so a predator mentality is, I'm not afraid of anything unless it's not bigger than me. So I'm going to take, you know.
Yeah.
And, you got people that got that predator mentality now, you know.
Yeah,
and
they're
not afraid of nobody. They're not afraid of the police, that, you know.
Yeah.
They just gonna take. They looking for opportunity. They're on a mission to take, looking for an opportunity.
Gotcha.
Right.
So, how often do you guys take your kids with you when you go hunting? Because I know you mentioned I remember Keisha was talking about she was pregnant the first time she hunted. Do your kids come with you often?
We definitely try to get them involved. Our oldest daughter, she's actually 16 now, and she has taken wild turkey, wild hog, white-tailed deer. So she's really been out there. And then our 10-year-old, she killed her first white-tailed deer last year. And then we have our two little ones. They're six. Well, she just turned seven.
Uh-huh.
And then we have, six. She just turned six. And then our son, he's seven. And he's already been shooting. We're getting them, you know, practicing with the BB gun. And they've actually been out there in the woods with us turkey hunting.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of know what it's like to sit and wait. And we let them do the turkey calls, you know, just so they can get the feel of things and see how it feels just even being out there. So we definitely want to keep them included with us, whether they're actually going to take the shot or not. But I think this year we're definitely going to try to get our son on the deer and our younger daughter on the deer this year.
So there are a lot of people who don't really, who see that and they're like, well, no, that's like, what your son was like, seven?
Seven.
So is there an age that you think is too young? Clearly, you know, a baby is probably not going to be hunting. But what do you think the advantages are from having him start at such a young age?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the advantages is he hasn't been exposed to bad habits around guns.
Gotcha.
Hold on.
You're breaking up. Go back and say it again. I don't want anybody to miss what you're saying.
Well, our son and our kids, I think the advantage of exposing them to guns at an early age is this. They have not been exposed in the wrong way. Okay. So we properly brought them up around guns and different things. So my kids, they really don't respond, you know, out of curiosity. Instead of me letting them be curious, instead of me telling them, hey,
this is
the garden and this is the forbidden tree, don't touch of that fruit.
Gotcha.
Well, we take them straight to it and we say, hey, look, this is that. And, you know, understand that guns, they can take a life, but at the same time, it's a tool, you know, get over that curiosity. You know, you want to see it, or this one is all about. Okay, so now don't touch it unless you're told to.
Yeah.
And that makes kids understand and bring them into the reality of how serious it is. So we can, so it's determined by the maturity level of that child around those guns.
Gotcha.
So we will purposely leave guns, you know, not loaded guns, but we will purposely leave a gun unattended and keep an eye out and just watch how they would respond to it.
Yeah.
And we would watch how some would just play around it and avoid it, you know, and they began to not even, you know.
It's not like, I just got to touch it. I just threw it out. My life. They know that a gun can kill. I mean, you know, if someone pulls the trigger, they know, don't play with guns. They know all of this. So.
Right. So if they see an AR-15, they're like, oh, that's nothing.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, they're like, you know, AK-47. Mm. Oh, please. You know, they were used to that type of environment. And I think that's the best way I believe that every American should at least, at the minimum, have a shotgun in their house. I don't see why not.
And teach and tell their kids about it and let their kids see it. Say, hey, you know, you can do this with this. Don't do this and don't do that. You know, basically just teaching your kids at a young age. That way it won't be any accidental child death, you know, thing like, oh, I want to see a gun. You know, a lot of kids kill each other. You know, but if you teach them while they're young, that would definitely change those numbers, get them used to it now instead of them finding out from somebody else or over at a friend's house and they see a gun laying out, like, oh, what's that, you know, playing with it. So if you teach them now while they're young, I think it would definitely help curb those numbers.
Yes, if they're in a situation where we're not there and they're around someone playing with a gun, they'd be like, no, don't point that barrel at me, you know. Right, so they know, you know, no.
You're not supposed to be playing with that or go tell an adult.
Right.
Hey,
it's always loaded, you know. Mm-hmm. They assume that all guns are loaded. So,
there are a lot of people out there who bought a gun for the very first time. What what would you suggest would be the earliest age at which to start teaching kids about gun safety? Like, what age did you start with your kids in terms of teaching them the safeties about utilizing firearms?
Okay, I would at least pay attention to the attention span. Mm-hmm. Of that child and that child's maturity level, because I'm gonna give you an example.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to Christianity, they talk about an age of accountability when a child knows that, hey, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and sin is wrong.
Yeah.
Certain kids reach that age of accountability at different ages. Now. Going back to the kids and the guns, 5 years old, kids understand a lot at the age of 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to put a 300 Win Mag in their hand and let them shoot and blow the shoulder off. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that they're old enough to, you know, to teach them don't put your hands on this.
Right from wrong.
Yes, unless I tell you to. So I think just bringing them up and having those guns in their circumference, I mean, they're going to automatically, like, learn good habits just by watching them. Kids pay attention to us. The kids these days, they are very knowledgeable about a lot of things that we wouldn't realize, you know. So,
yeah,
the cartoons are so advanced, you know, the music they listen to. Heck, I mean, if I was three, you know, I wouldn't imagine I would know how to use an iPad. But I mean, these young kids, they know how to use iPads and call, you know, you know, at young ages. So five, I think, is a good age, you know.
About five.
Right, to start watching it.
So what would you say to let's say you have somebody who has kids and they're not necessarily, like, let's say their kids haven't reached that age.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions for them on how they can kind of maintain gun safety around the kids in the home?
Well, even if they don't believe the kids have reached that age, I would at least let the kids see me with guns. Okay. And I would let them see how I handle the guns. You know, I wouldn't want to keep it visible. I would make sure that they visibly see me where there's holstering a gun or putting it up. Me personally, I don't recommend, I have, you know, gun safe, but I really don't recommend locking, you know, the safe up where, you know, in the event that something bad happens, you know, but I just believe in just putting it in the area that's not easily accessible to those kids. But I think most definitely they should, you know.
Let them see it just so they'll be aware of right. it. They may not, you know, don't touch it, but just let them be aware that there is a gun here for our protection, uh-huh. whatever you use.
Right, and do those tests like I did. The first test was like leaving guns around that you know are safe. Mm-hmm. And tell them, no, don't touch this, don't bother this, and just watch them, just see what they're going to do.
Gotcha.
Watch their curiosity, see are they going to bother it, and if they do, then you begin to teach them.
Mm. I never even thought about that. Then again, I don't have any kids either, though. So that's probably why. Now, for people who aren't, how would you recommend, you know, like everyone here is a self-admitted city rat. At some point in their lives. How would you recommend getting people more involved in hunting? Because I think right now there is a kind of a consorted effort to vilify the idea of hunting. Even though, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you don't need an AR-15 to hunt. And then the same people will then turn around 2 weeks later and say, like, hunting is evil, right? I think the fight for the Second Amendment very much includes the hunting aspect of it as well, to a degree. How would you suggest getting more people involved in the hunting side of things? Because right now, you know, we have Uber Eats and all our ability to have everything on demand. A lot of people feel like hunting is dead or is unnecessary. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, I say that hunting is essential, first of all. Mm-hmm. I think right now with the COVID pandemic, people began to see that, hey, the grocery store, you can't rely on it.
Yeah.
You can't rely on the grocery stores. You can't rely on the government. So I think that now is just a time for people to just start looking, opening their eyes and realizing, hey, these skills are essential at this time.
Yeah. You're breaking up. Say that again.
I would tell people to give it a try. If they want to first start off with fishing, you know, then try that. Hunting and fishing, I think they go hand in hand, you know. So I would most definitely start there. I would tell people to think about what they might be interested in hunting, because there's a lot of ways to hunt, you know, and a lot of game to hunt. Just like you start off with hogs. That was, in my opinion, that was pretty advanced, you know, to start off.
So how would you start? Go ahead and finish, but I want to ask you, how are you going to start me off when I come out there? That's what I want to ask you after you finish your thought. Go ahead.
Man, we would have loved to start you off, man. Dove hunting, man.
You would love it.
Okay.
It's so much action, man, and it takes skill, man, to hit those moving targets.
He can match it all up from
us. It's actually fun even missing, you know.
He's like, he ain't missing.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know, I mean, I look at dove hunting kind of like ski shooting, or clay shooting, and I suck at that.
What? Well, see, that'll make it even better.
Yes.
Most people suck.
So is it safe to say that if I suck at skeet or clay shooting, that I'm going to suck at dove hunting?
No, I'm just saying that it'll be fun missing. Yeah. I mean, okay. We all like to have fun, and it's a challenge for everyone.
Yeah, that's
what makes it fun.
That's what makes it fun, you know, because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to talk a lot of trash about how good I am. And
then I'm going to be the one who end up killing more. That's how it goes.
You know, so I think that's a great social introductory sport.
Okay.
If I didn't say dove, I probably would say squirrel hunting. Squirrel hunting.
Really?
Rabbit hunting?
Rabbit hunting. Squirrel hunting with a .22 is a lot of fun to me as well. You can do it with a shotgun as well, but
action packed, you know, just not sitting there. You're kind of moving around.
Right.
Okay.
You're moving and you're stalking, and you know, a lot of times, it's not in a cold of the winter, you know, when squirrel season opens up. So, learning how to clean game, you know, with a smaller body cavity to work with versus this, you know, humongous deer hanging, you know,
in front of you. That's the part I'm not looking forward to. I'll do it. Right. I'll do it. I'm just not looking forward to it, but I'll do it.
So yeah, I think small games is a great way to start hunting.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about, so with bullet caliber and choice, right? Because everybody always talks about stopping power, or better yet, let's talk about the idea of the AR. Like, have you ever hunted a deer with an AR-15? Hello?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Right now. No, I haven't.
You haven't? No, okay. You know why I ask, right?
Well, I did.
Well, because people are constantly
talking about AR-15.
Yeah, and just this notion that, you know, you don't need an AR-15 to kill a deer or to kill a doe, as a lot of people put it. And so I just wanted to, if you had, talk about your experiences with actually hunting a deer with an AR-15. Now, when you do hunt a deer, what are you usually hunting with? What are you using?
Are you talking about just
this type of gun and caliber? Yeah.
Yes. Right now we're using the 6.5 Creedmoor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, yeah, man. What did you think?
No, I just didn't. I have a 6.5 Creedmoor, but I've never, growing up, I never heard it associated with hunting.
Man.
So I'm thinking hunting. I'm always thinking, like, you know, the 308s, the 30-06, the 30-30, stuff like that. And so that's why when you said that.
It's so many, you know, and especially right here in the South, you know. Everybody has their own caliber. This caliber is better than this caliber. You know, if I was using a seven mag, Remington mag.
How are you breaking up again? Say that again.
I used to use a seven mag at first.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it, but because of recoil, muzzle break on that platform, and so. Because of the muzzle brake, it was loud. So me dropping down to that 6.5 Creedmoor, you know, a lot of people are talking about those 6.5 Creedmoor. It's kind of like a new hype type caliber.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then they'll come out with a caliber, and it's been around for a while, but they'll, you know, talk about it in a hunting sense.
Okay.
And they talk about how accurate it is, and I think our 6.5 Creedmoor, I'm not mistaken, I think it's shooting around. We're going to be using a Winchester 140 grain ballistic tip, which is a bullet.
I'll say it. You said ballistic tip, and then you kind of cut out.
We're going to be shooting a Winchester 140 grain silver ballistic tip,
okay.
Which that tip is really a nozzler tip. That Winchester puts in those bullets. So, and I think it's gonna be moving around. If I'm not mistaken, I think it is pushing around 2,700 feet per second, which is getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, that is suffice. That is suffice for deer hunting. You know, you don't have to overdo it.
Uh-huh.
And it has a great trajectory, and man, it's the recoil, the lack of recoil is what really gets it for me. I mean, heck, my son, 6 years old, I let him shoot it one time.
When he was five,
because I was, you know,
it
didn't bad. And he took a 100-yard shot and he nailed it. His first time, he nailed it, and which was pretty impressive, you know. So
that's incredible. That is incredible. Yeah, because I definitely wasn't doing that at that age at all. So do you guys hunt with suppressors or silencers at all at any?
Well, I do have and I actually didn't think about it at the time when you asked me about a pistol.
Yeah.
Yes, I have some rooms with two.
My bad, you were breaking up again. Say that one more time.
Yes, I have taken some raccoons before with a .22 long rifle suppressed pistol. So that was pretty fascinating. I mean, it really did something for me because, you know, I got this pistol, and I hate to say the caliber because I'm not even sure. I mean, not the caliber, but the manufacturer. I know it's a Ruger. It may be a Mark III.
Uh-huh.
It's like a tactical version.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And man, you know, I'm sitting here with this gun and this suppressor, and I'm like, I got it. What do I use it for? And it was so fascinating. I mean, the first time I took a raccoon, because it was quiet, and I mean, it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
And Henry, you're pretty accurate.
Yeah, so it's awesome.
Gotcha. So when you are hunting, are you wearing ear pro, or you just kind of, or no ear pro at all?
No, I haven't been using. A lot of times we don't use hearing protection. Uh-huh. When I was shooting my 7 Magnum, I did. Okay. I think I was using some Walker Gang hearing muffs, the ones that the noise reducing kind, when I shot with the muzzle brake. But for the most part, just that one blast, in my opinion, I don't think it's really damaging your ears that bad. You know, I could be wrong, but just that one shot, and you know, it don't take a. It's not like you just at a range. Just
ripping through an entire magazine. gotcha. Okay, so for people who are looking and they want to find you, where are you guys? What are you guys doing? What's in the future for you guys? And just let everybody know where they can find you. If somebody's interested in learning more about hunting and so forth and so on, what you guys got going on.
All right. Definitely you all can check us out. We are on Instagram at Halo Hunting, and we are also on Facebook, and we're on Twitter at Halo_Hunting. We're also on YouTube. We're definitely going to be uploading some more content on YouTube. And we're also have a series that we did with Scentlock called Way of Life that is streaming on the Mossy Oak Go app. And that's a free app that you can download. So we also have a web series that's showing on there right now. And pretty much any other hunts that we have coming up, we're definitely going to add some more content to our YouTube channel, Halo Hunting. Anything else?
Yeah, we do have some hunts coming up. Uh-huh. We're going to do mostly in-state and locally, but we do have some out-of-state hunts. I think next year we're going to be headed out to New Mexico, and we're going to take some elk. We have a hunt coming up real soon, which we're going to kind of like keep it a secret for right now, but it's going to be pretty big.
Okay.
And it will be a whitetail hunt, with a special group of people. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to continue hunting and continue doing, our...
And also, you can check out our website as well at halohunting.com. So if you just type in Halo Hunting or Henry and LaKeisha Hunting, you can definitely find us.
Right. Okay. And we're going to be doing a lot more things in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Our scheduled dove hunt that we have right now will be coming up soon, probably within about a couple of weeks.
Okay. Then I do have my women's turkey hunt that will be coming up next year. I have some awesome women that's going to be joining us in the outdoors. So
this is going to be where?
It's going to be in Mississippi.
Okay.
That's Ashland, Mississippi.
Okay.
It kind of got... due to COVID, it got canceled last year. It got canceled. So she had some awesome ladies, that love to shoot. Mm-hmm. You had
Liberty Austin, Antonia Okafor was going to join us, mm-hmm. and Jane as well was going to join me. So we're going to have a good time.
Sweet. I love it. Well, I really appreciate you guys for coming on the show. I promise you, I'm going to come out.
All right, we're gonna hold you to that.
No, please do. But no, really, really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you guys again.
All right, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
All righty. Right now, there's a culture war against the Second Amendment, which is why I need your help spreading our message to counter their message. You can help do this by leaving a comment, sharing this video, and clicking the bell and subscribe button. Let my voice be your voice, and let them know you want to keep America tactical, because the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed wasn't a suggestion, it was a directive. Also, if you're wondering where to purchase your AR-15s are essential, I will not comply, I am the militia, I lost all my guns in a boating accident, and your state-specific Keep America Tactical shirt, click the link next to my head or the link in the description section, or if you're watching this on a mobile device, tap the small triangle on the lower right-hand side of this video and click the link in the description.